Channel open. Welcome back to Weekly Trek, a proud member of the Tricorder Transmissions podcast network and presented in partnership with TrekCore.com. I am your host, Alex Perry.
What's today's date? The date.
Today's show was recorded on May 6, 2022, and is current through the Star Trek Picard Season 2 finale, Farewell, and the Star Trek Strange New Worlds pilot, Strange New Worlds. So beware of spoilers. And if you are in one of the regions where any of the Star Trek shows have not yet aired and you are trying to stay spoiler-free, be sure to check the episode article on TrekCore for time codes for each of our stories tonight in order to avoid them. All right, let's get into the show.
Good day, Voyager, and welcome to A Briefing with Neelix. It's a catchy title, isn't it?
Weekly Trek is a regular news show covering the biggest stories from the Star Trek franchise. We are in a new golden age of Star Trek. There are 5 television shows in production, possibly more on the way, and enough merchandise to fill the Bajoran wormhole. So stick with me and I'll help you sort the real facts from a lot of the Dominion propaganda that you'll find online. But I can't do this alone, and my guest this week is returning guest and co-host of the Discovering Trek Picard and the Divine Treasury podcast on the Trek Geeks podcast network. It's Jamie Rogers. Jamie, welcome back to Weekly Trek.
So glad to be back with you, Alex. We always have fun times when we're together, for sure.
Oh, yes. Well, Jamie, you know the drill. I want to know something that's got you excited about Star Trek at the moment. What's got you moving at Warp 10?
Well, I don't know, Alex. There wasn't a whole lot that happened this week.
Yeah, it's not like just... there aren't 17,000 things to choose from.
I know. You know, obviously, what's exciting to me right now is Strange New Worlds. And, sure. You know, I just like you, obviously, I was able to see a good portion of this first season. And,
yep.
You know, I really think it's your perfect show to bridge that gap between old school fans of the original series with the modern fan, but also kind of be relatable and, you know, possess enough substance to really not play down to somebody who's coming to Star Trek for the first time.
Yep.
You know, and like we've seen, you know, in some of these episodes, I really think it's this perfect recipe of episodic television that I've ever seen. And, you know, it gives you that one episode, that self-contained storyline, but it's really mixing in some great character growth and development on a weekly basis. And, you know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of TNG as well, where, you know, we used to always say like, oh, this is a Troy episode, or this is a Worf episode. We're kind of seeing this with Strange New World, like, oh, this is an Uhura episode, or is it, this is a Chapel episode. Like, I just think they figured out the perfect recipe on how to do episodic television. I'm so excited about it.
Yeah. And the reaction has been extremely, extremely positive from the critics, from the fans who've seen it. It just seems like, you know, everything is humming on all cylinders. And we'll pause for a moment and recognize that Strange New Worlds is not possible without all of the other great shows that have come before it, including Star Trek Discovery, Star Trek Picard, the animated shows that are out there. But I think there is this sense that Strange New Worlds has sort of arrived on the scene and has sort of already earned its place there in terms of the role that it's going to play in the Star Trek franchise moving forward. And yeah, the pilot was great. The next episodes are great. There's just so much to look forward to from this show. And I can't wait to see more new episodes, because it's going to be a little while, because we've seen the first 5 episodes at this point. And yeah, it's just really great. I just rewatched the pilot about an hour ago. It was the third or fourth time I've seen it after I had the privilege of seeing it on the big screen at the red carpet premiere last week. And yeah, it's a fabulous show.
Yeah, no, and it's just, it hits the ground completely running. Like, you don't feel any of that first episode, first season angst at all. It's firing on all cylinders. I mean, it looks amazing, looks gorgeous. And it's just, like I said, I just love the storytelling. I really genuinely think they just figured out that perfect recipe on how to do episodic television. And to your point, it's like, now I'm like, oh, I gotta wait to see episodes 6 through 10 now, you know. But no, it's awesome. For anybody that hasn't seen it, you know, yet, it's great.
All right, well, let me tell you what I'm feeling good about Star Trek this week. So I'm going to take us from Strange New Worlds to Star Trek Picard, and the finale this week of season 2, Farewell, which I thought was really good, wrapped up a really nice season of Picard for me. It was not a perfect season by any means, but I enjoyed it a whole hell of a lot. And in this episode, particularly, the thing that I loved, L-O-V-E-D, capital L, capital O, capital V, capital E, capital D, was the farewell scenes between Picard and Q right in the middle of the episode in which Picard finally asks Q the question, like, why me, right? Why have you been sort of part of my life for 30 years? You're an omnipotent being who could do whatever. And the response from Q, which is that it matters to me, and even gods have favorite Jean-Luc, and you've always been one of mine. It is such a great and powerful scene that then goes out with that moment right at the end with the hug between Picard and Q, and then Q using that line, right, as he's about to snap himself out of existence, right? You know, sort of move on to whatever the great beyond is for the Q continuum, and uses that same line, the last line he used to Picard in All Good Things, see you out there. But now, where in All Good Things, see you out there was something that he was saying to Picard about, hey, I'm going out into this thing, which I already know and understand, and you don't, and you will come and find me. It's flipped this time, right? Because Q's going on an adventure that he does not know what lies on the other side for him, because he's about to die. And that's a new experience for the Q. And it's just so wonderfully, monumentally profound with Jeff Russo's score that runs over the back of it. I've probably watched those scenes now 10 times. I've seen the episode 4 or 5 times. I've probably seen that scene like 15 times. I played the track, the specific cue that's on the season 2 soundtrack for that scene, probably 50 times by now. It has been the soundtrack to my day. So I've been in a really ragged emotional state, but I just thought it was so well done. And John Delancey's performance was incredible. And Sir Patrick Stewart's performance was incredible. And I cannot rave enough about those 5 minutes of television. They were sensational.
Yeah. And I totally agree with you. And I've been saying this all season on Discovering Trek Picard that, you know, John Delancey, it looked like he has never even stopped acting. Because he just kind of came right back in, and he's just firing on all cylinders. And then, you know, you put the two of them together. I agree with you. It was such a satisfying end of the season. For me, this season was like, I started out so high and I was, wow, this is going great. And then the middle of the season kind of waned a little bit for me. But you're absolutely right that we kind of saw a fitting conclusion to these characters. And, you know, you were wondering the whole season, like, okay, is Q the enemy? Is he his friend? Is he teaching him a lesson? Is he fighting against him? You know, and to see that, how that fitting conclusion kind of wraps itself up, and, you know, the genuine love between these two people, and it really transmitted on the screen for sure.
Well, we have more Star Trek Picard to talk about in our news stories today. So with that, let's turn to the week's top stories.
There's a war going on, and I'm a reporter.
Well, with the exciting conclusion to Star Trek Picard's second season, and all eyes now turning towards season 3, which is set to see the return of all 7 of the series' regular characters from Star Trek The Next Generation, it seems that Star Trek Picard will be saying goodbye to a number of its cast members from the first 2 seasons. Santiago Cabrera, who played Cristobal Rios, will not be returning for season 3. His character elected, as we saw in the season finale of season 2 of Picard, to remain in the 21st century, and we learn that he died there much later in life. Cabrera joined the cast of The Flight Attendant at the same time that Picard season 3 was filming, so that definitely says almost certainly no Rios cameo. Alison Pill has also said that season 2 will be her last with Picard. The Dr. Jurati turned Jurati Borg or Borgati Queen hybrid actress told Movie Web in an interview that, quote, "I know that season 3 will be the end. I wasn't a part of season 3, so I don't have much to say about it in terms of spoilers. I will get to watch along with everybody else." But perhaps more surprisingly than Cabrera and Pill, whose character arcs seem to reach a natural conclusion with the end of season 2, Evan Evagora and Issa Briones have also taken to Instagram to announce that season 2 will be the end of their time on Picard. "I won't be back for season 3 of Picard, so to quote a mediocre band, thanks for all the memories," Elnor actor Evan Evagora wrote on Instagram. And Soji and Corey actress Issa Briones also wrote on Instagram to say that she was, quote, "very thankful for every part of this experience. Thanks for watching, friends. Farewell, Soji, this orchid is for you." Of the original Picard cast from the first season, that leaves just Michelle Hurd and Jeri Ryan, who have both confirmed they will be appearing in season 3 alongside the TNG cast. Jamie, what's your reaction to the news that a large part of the cast for Star Trek Picard will not be continuing into Star Trek Picard season 3?
Well, I'm okay with it. You know, I really knew that this was inevitable. You know, it's funny that I was watching season 2 unfold before the announcement of the TNG cast reunion, you know, I was thinking that the show was going to go two ways. Either they were going to leave us with this massive cliffhanger at the end of season two, making season two and season three one continuous story, and you know, these characters were going to continue on, or I thought that it was going to kind of wrap up at season two and they were going to kind of get rid of most of these characters. I kind of was feeling that way anyways. But of course, when Terry Metalis comes out and says it's one self-contained season, I really thought to myself, he's got something special in store for season three. And I really knew at that point that a lot of these characters' stories were going to start getting wrapped up, you know, especially Girardi and Rios. I mean, I think I saw that from the second he had such great chemistry with Teresa that I said he's going to be staying back in the past. So I wasn't surprised, and I like the direction that the show is going, and I really like the satisfying conclusion with some of these characters that we've grown to love over the last two seasons.
Yeah, I mean, I have mixed emotions about this. I mean, certainly for characters like Allison Pill and Santiago Cabrera, right? For Rios and for Girardi, we saw the natural conclusion of their character arcs. You know, we know where Girardi ends up. We know where Rios ends up. You know, that's all fine and good at this point. The real place where I think maybe I'm a little more disappointed and would have liked to have seen, you know, sort of carry over into season three is Elnor and would be Issa Briones in whatever kind of, you know, sort of role she would be playing in a season three of Picard, just because, right, we barely got any Elnor this season. You know, he died in episode two. We got the hologram in episode nine, and then he pops back up right at the end of episode 10. And there is something very special to that relationship between Picard and Elnor that really sort of got dropped, you know, after the first season. And it would have been nice to have seen more on. But ultimately, I guess it's inevitable in some ways, right? You're bringing back the seven main cast members of The Next Generation. They've all said in various ways and shapes and forms that they only want to come back if they're given something really substantive and meaty to do. And we'll talk about this more in the next story. And like, you know, like this is it, right? Like come back and be in a full season's worth of this show. And like, that's how you get that. And unfortunately, that probably means there's just not enough time and not enough room for some of these sort of Picard original characters, which sucks, but is also understandable.
Yeah, probably not enough room in the budget either.
Yeah, right. But, yeah. Yeah. These guys don't come cheap.
Yeah. No, you know, and I agree with you. I mean, I love the character development of like Elnor and things like that, but I do agree that I think in season three, it would be distracting to have Elnor there. I mean, let's face it. I mean, he's a cadet. He's on the Excelsior now, kind of, you know, going off to do other things. I think to try to get his character in, I almost feel like it would be, you know, when they kept trying to pigeonhole Worf in some of the last couple movies when he was on Deep Space Nine, it's like, to me, it would be kind of out of place. And I think it's true. He needs to go off and do his own thing. And I think it's a good send off for his character. You know, as much as I love that development, I think it would distract from the main story.
Well, you know, what's also super interesting is the fact that Issa Briones is not in it makes me feel like, okay, well then I really have no idea what role Brent Spiner is playing in season three of Picard, right? Because we know he's not gonna be Data, but like if Issa Briones is not in it, then that tells me he's almost certainly also not playing Alton Inigo Sung from the season one finale of Picard. He's almost certainly not playing Adam Sung because that guy's back in the 21st century. So like, who is he?
I know. And it's funny because one of my predictions on discovering Trek was that this whole time travel thing that they did in season two was going to correct the timeline and bring Data back. That was actually one of my predictions that, hey, maybe they're going to bring Data back and correct all the issues with Nemesis because they're back in time. Uh-huh. So it is interesting because that is just like you said that, like you kind of can predict where everybody else is. You know, if you read the novels, you know, Worf was captain of the Enterprise, you know, Geordi was kind of running Utopia Planitia and all this other stuff. But yeah, you really don't know where they're going to go with Brent Spiner, but he's such an incredible actor that they're going to find something for him to do, I'm sure.
Yeah, right. Well, since we're talking about the big seven, let's transition into our next story, which is that at the Star Trek Strange New Worlds red carpet premiere last week, Star Trek franchise showrunner Alex Kurtzman spoke a little to TrekCore.com about Picard Picard season 3 and the decision to bring back the TNG cast. He said, quote, "When you take on Picard, the first thing you think is, I want to bring everybody back, right? Of course. But Patrick Stewart, and he really deserves the credit for this, equally wanted to bring everybody back, but I think was insistent from the beginning in saying that if we're going to do that, we have to earn it. We can't just drop that all at once. It won't land in the right way because there won't have been enough time to set up what had changed about Picard and what had changed about all the other characters in the intervening years. So I think we felt that by the time we got to season 3, now you're like, okay, we've established the world, we've established the characters, and it makes a lot of sense to bring them back, and we have a really good reason to bring them back. I mean, again, any story is always, why? What's the why? And we finally found our why." And when asked to confirm what size the role of the TNG cast would have in season 3, Kurtzman responded that, quote, "They're not cameos, I assure everybody. They can just take that right off the plate." And Dr. Beverly Crusher actress Gates McFadden has also confirmed that her character will be appearing extensively in the third season of Picard when she tweeted this week that she had completed ADR, which is when actors re-loop their dialogue to account for any audio issues from when original filming took place on the set, for the first 6 episodes of Picard season 3, which implies that Beverly Crusher has dialogue in the first 6 episodes of Picard season 3. Jamie, all right, we've talked about the season 1 and 2 characters, but now let's turn to the Big 7, right? I know you're a big TNG guy. Tell me, how excited Huge. Are you for the return of the TNG cast in season 3?
Oh, I'm so excited, you know, and it's hard for me to say I like Kurtzman's reasoning on this because, you know, the heart in me, you know, my emotional side wanted them to come back in season 1 of Picard.
Right.
I have to admit it, you know, my heart wanted that.
Yep.
But my logical brain told me that it wouldn't have done these characters justice. It wouldn't have been the right send-off. And I really think that I agree with Kurtzman and Patrick Stewart's reasoning. They really needed to flesh out this Picard character.
Yep.
They really needed to develop him before bringing everybody else back. Because now that you got meat on the bone, I just think that the impact in our anticipation as fans is even greater now that we know this is the end. We know they're going to get the proper send off. And I think the excitement's built. If we had it in season 1, it wouldn't have landed the same way.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it really is like, you know, I've heard people sort of saying it's like, oh, it's TNG season 8, you know, and it's like, yeah, yeah, it's TNG season 8, guys. Like, you know, this is really happening. And like, that's really exciting. And we're getting these characters back and we're not getting, you know, this is not like a Riker showing up in Nepenthe type thing for one episode and then coming back again, you know, for the season finale. This is like, no, this really sounds like these guys are going to be there, you know, beginning in episode 1, running all the way through. I can't imagine they let them jump off the train before the season finale of season 3. So it's like, yeah, this is going to be a big story. I'm curious though, like, you know, season 2, that the finale of season 2 seems like it has some setup for season 3, right? The temporal anomaly and why did Q die? And that could kind of be set up for the beginning of season 3. Do you think it is, or do you think they're going to go in a completely different direction?
I think it is, but I also think they're kind of trying to keep their cards close to the vest.
Yeah, they're faking us out.
Yeah, they're faking us out, you know. And yeah, man, I keep playing through different scenarios in my head of what's going to happen. But you know what's interesting? I was just thinking about this as you were talking about this. The line that Jaban said in season 1 when Picard, you know, first kind of comes to the realization that like, oh, hey, I need to go on this adventure and go figure out what's going on. How Jaban was like, oh, we need to call the old gang back. You know, we need to get Geordi and Worf. And it was kind of, you know, it was kind of, you almost felt like a throwaway line, but you wonder if they kind of had the intention of bringing the cast back, even in that early incarnation of season 1, where they were going to kind of tease that and then say, we actually are going to bring them back for another adventure. So, you know, I feel like it's going to be an adventure. That's what it's really going to come down to. And it's going to come down to Picard feeling like there's nobody else he can trust.
Yeah, right.
And he needs his closest. He needs the companions that he trusts the most to accomplish this mission that's going to save the universe, obviously.
And it's got to be something huge,
massive,
right? Like, you know,
massive.
And hey, a random transwarp conduit from an unknown species opening in the middle of a random Federation sector and then almost destroying that entire sector, that's a pretty big threat, right? That's
yeah, a pretty no, big absolutely. Problem. And, you know, you wonder too, like, are we going to see Will Wheaton again? Are we going to see Whoopi Goldberg again? Yeah, are we going to see Denise? You know, we may even see Denise Crosby. We don't know. You know, those might be some of the surprises that we get in season three. But no, I'm excited. I mean, I can't contain my excitement.
Well, shifting gears to the new Kid on the Block and Star Trek Strange New Worlds, also at the red carpet premiere event for Strange New Worlds, series co-showrunner Henry Alonzo Myers talked about the recent announcement that James T. Kirk would be appearing in the show's second season. All that I can say is, you're a sci-fi fan. Put on your thinking hat, he said when asked about the character's appearance. There are lots of different ways we can meet this character, a lot of different ways. Some of them are obvious and some of them are less obvious. He went on to say, assume nothing. He is a guest on our series. He isn't important to our series. He has big roles on the series. Paul inhabits him wonderfully, but like I've said, we're not trying to change what our series is. Our series is the stories of Pike's Enterprise, you know what I mean? But like, Kirk was around back then, and it would probably be a mistake not to tell. Look, you don't want to leave a story on the table, not telling interesting stories that haven't been told. We're telling stories about young Spock and young Uhura and young Chapel. At some point, you're going to have to wonder what happened with young Kirk. We've talked a little bit about the reaction to Strange New Worlds so far. So tell me, how are you feeling about the inclusion of James T. Kirk down the line in season two?
I mean, I'm definitely excited. It's funny because I was watching the first episode of Strange New Worlds, and when they said Lieutenant Kirk coming on board, you know, I kind of got a little heart flutter. Like,
sure,
are they actually going to do this? Episode one. And of course, it's funny because it's like his brother, you know,
which clearly they knew what they were doing, right? They knew everyone was going to go there, and they faked us all out.
Yeah, they faked us all out. And it was great. It was a great fake out. You know, obviously, I want to make sure they do it right. You know, and I don't want the appearance of James Kirk to detract from anything that this ensemble was doing, you know, and, you know, I just hope that they do it right. And I'm sure they will, because so far they haven't done very many things wrong, in my opinion, for the show. And you know, I personally think they're going to try to incorporate him some way, like some joint mission.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
The ship that he's on with Pike's crew, some joint mission where, you know, I think Pike's going to be impressed with Kirk, you know, almost like we kind of saw in the Kelvin timeline movies that he's going to be impressed with him, how he handles the mission. And I think that Pike's going to try to become like that mentor to Kirk. And, you know, especially as he's dealing with the trauma of these visions of, you know, what's going to happen to him.
Right.
You know, I think he's really going to look at Kirk as this person that he can groom to, you know, eventually take command of the Enterprise.
Yeah. I mean, when the Kirk news came out, what was it, a month ago now? And I think it was Jen Tift was my guest for that episode. And we were talking about the arrival of Kirk. And at that point in time, not having seen any Strange New Worlds and not having a sense of the vibe of the show and not having a sense of like, sort of how the show was going to approach elements of kind of bringing in pieces of the original series, I was very much like, I don't know, man, I'm kind of skeptical about this, right? Like, not in any sort of big and serious way. I think I said in the episode I was really excited for it and excited to see how it kind of played out. But from that more sort of defensive stance of like, oh, they better not screw this up, right? Like, you know, that's a really big bat to swing. But now I feel quite differently about it. I mean, I'm actually really excited. I really genuinely am excited for them to lean into Kirk. I think that Henry Alonzo Myers kind of, you know, there were those conspiracy theories within the first like 3 hours of the news coming out that, oh, well, does this mean that Anson Mount's leaving his own show and they're going to transition over it to being the Kirk show and it's a bait and switch and it's not the story of Pike's Enterprise. It's actually the story of Pike's Enterprise for 10 episodes and then, haha, it's Kirk's Enterprise for the rest of the time. All right. Like, that has now been officially put to bed, right? And it never should have been out there in the first place. It was a ridiculous notion, but it was one that some people had, and it's now one that's been confirmed not to be the case. This is the story of Pike's Enterprise, and it's very episodic. You can easily have Kirk come in for a solid two-parter and then exit and go about his business and return in the series finale, whenever that is, to shake Pike's hand and take over command of the Enterprise. And that's kind of exciting, actually, right? Like, you know, this sort of idea that, sure, for one or two episodes, let's go visit young Kirk at this point in his life and just get a little peek into what he was doing before the Enterprise, because we really don't know all that much outside of the incident that took place on the Farragut. We assume that he was captain of another ship before the Enterprise, because that's a real big ship to be a first-time captain in,
yep.
Kelvin timeline notwithstanding. But,
yeah.
You know, we really don't know all that much about him. So, like, yeah, let's do it, right? You know, with yep. the with the same sort of zhuzh and personality that Strange New Worlds has brought into the episodes that they've created and that we have seen today. Yeah, I'd love to see James T. Kirk in that context.
But I will say this. I'm glad they're waiting till the second season to
yes,
do it.
Yes.
I'm glad that they're letting this cast, this ensemble get its footing, get its ground, get solid before they're, you know, because if they would have brought, you know, like I said, obviously I got a little, my hair's stood up when I heard Lieutenant Kirk, but I want this crew to stand on its own because once yeah, again, I go right. back to what I said at the beginning of this discussion. I think this is the perfect recipe for a Star Trek show.
Yep.
I really do. And I think this show is really going to go to places that some of the other shows haven't gone
yep.
because they figured out the recipe. And, you know, I don't want them to have to ride the coattails of bringing Kirk in, especially too early.
Right, right. Yeah. It just wouldn't be good, right? Like, you know, that wouldn't be fun. And because that's where we would immediately go to, right? We would not then see anything else out there. But now these characters have the chance to live and to grow. And that includes, you know, legacy characters, right? Because it includes Spock and Uhura and, you know, a bunch of these other guys. But it's like, you know, they're growing in their own way within this show. And then we'll do something fun in season two with James T. Kirk. And maybe that's, you know, I've speculated before, that's going to be the season premiere, you know, a sort of the like big premiere episode for the season. And then, hey, we're back to doing our usual thing and everybody's had a good time. Well, lastly this week, Star Trek fans in the UK and Ireland finally have a definitive date for the launch of Paramount Plus in the two countries. Paramount Plus will arrive in the UK and Ireland on June 22nd, and along with it will come Star Trek Strange New Worlds. The streaming channel will be available as a standalone subscription or as part of your Sky package if you are a Sky customer. When the service finally gets online, it is expected to include Star Trek Strange New Worlds and to be the new home of Star Trek Discovery, though it is likely that Star Trek Picard and Lower Decks will remain on Amazon for the foreseeable future, and unclear whether Prodigy will appear there too, since it is now available in those countries through Nickelodeon. In addition to the UK, Paramount Global have confirmed that the service will launch before the end of this year in 60 more regions, and that includes Italy, Germany, France, Switzerland, and Austria. A launch in South Korea will happen by the end of May, and India is expected in 2023. So we finally are getting more assurity about when the service will launch outside of North America, Australia, Latin America, the few places available right now. And that's very exciting. Even though it comes after the premiere of Star Trek Strange New Worlds, it's still, this will be, once you've got Paramount Plus in your region, this will be the last time we have to worry about this. From now on, it'll all work the same way. Jamie, it's exciting to see Paramount Plus finally roll out internationally. And don't you think, like, I mean, it's easy for us, right? We live in the US. Spoiled. We have access to all of this stuff. So it's, you know, we never have to worry about this. And so it's, maybe we shouldn't be talking about this at all, but like yeah. it is, you know, it's, wouldn't you agree? It's nice to see they're finally getting this sorted out.
Absolutely. You know, and I mean, we think about the Star Trek family. It is a worldwide brotherhood, a worldwide family. And it's, I'm so thrilled that fans across the world are now going to be able to enjoy the same wonderful content that we've been spoiled with,
yeah,
you know, right. here in the United States for the last few years. You know, I'm very happy, but at the same time, I'm like, I think, you know, Paramount, CBS, I think they should have done a better job a few years ago laying the groundwork yep. to have yep. gotten this content out sooner.
Yep.
You know, and I think it was a really missed opportunity that they launched it the way they did, but almost feels like they're playing catch up. But once again, I'm thrilled that, you know, our international, you know, fans and friends are going to be able to enjoy the same content.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to never having to talk about this again.
Well, that's for sure.
June 22nd can't come soon enough. The end of the year can't come soon enough. This service rolling out in all the other international territories cannot come soon enough, because that will be the end of it, right? Once yeah. Paramount Plus is launched in your region, no more international distribution questions. It's going to be on Paramount Plus. It's not going to be anywhere else, right? Yep. Like, we see the five shows right now, Strange New Worlds being the most recent. That's going to be a native Paramount Plus exclusive in everywhere, right? Which means that it's not available in some of the countries right now where it's available today because they don't have Paramount Plus. But as soon as they get Paramount Plus, it will be. And then season two of that show will launch in the same way, well, you know, and however many countries Paramount Plus is in by, let's say, this time next year when season two of Strange New Worlds is on. And any future shows that get announced, right? You know, Alex Kurtzman, in one of his red carpet interviews, you know, sort of said the two shows that were most under consideration right now are, no surprises, we've talked about them a bunch on this show, Section 31 and Starfleet Academy. If and when either of those shows or a different show moves forward, you know, whatever it is that will ultimately replace Star Trek Picard now that has wrapped and, you know, is in the process of moving off the production schedule, then that'll be a Paramount Plus, right? It's just going to be on Paramount Plus and we don't have to talk about international distribution because, hey, if you're in the UK, where are you going to find it? You're going to find it on Paramount Plus and you're going to find it hopefully within a few hours of it getting up in the US. And so, you know, we will acknowledge, like, as you say, very capably, Paramount have done a god-awful job of getting us to this point. Just a really, really spitefully bad job in which they have royally pissed off like legions of international Star Trek fans in just the absolute worst way. And it was so unnecessary, but we might be near the end of this. We might be near the other side. And we can at least say few and move on when we get there.
Yeah, for sure. And it's funny too, because I mean, if you think about when CBS All Access first released, I mean, they broke every record, like every projection they came up with of how successful it was going to be, they blew it out of the water.
Right.
And I just sit here and I think of like, if you had planned it out better, you would have blown it out of the water even more. But hindsight's 2020 at this point.
Hindsight's 2020. They're only a multi-billion dollar corporation who couldn't figure it out. All right. Well, we've talked about the facts. And now let's speculate on what's going to happen in the future of Star Trek.
You make some very good points, Captain. But it's still all speculation and theory.
So each week, my guest and I give you a wish or theory we're nurturing about any of the shows or the future of the franchise. So, Jamie, let's hear your theory or wish for this week.
You know, getting that little tease of the Gorn in Strange New Worlds, I would love to see the Gorn done well, you know, and I really...
You don't want them to use the same CGI model they used for
No, absolutely not.
God, that was bad.
Yeah, I loved the original series episode with the Gorn, and so disappointed with how it was used in Enterprise. And I love that they're bringing this in, and I hope they just really, I want to see the ships.
Yeah,
I want to see them do the characters. I want to see an episode where they're central in the episode, and you know, so that's what I'm looking forward to and hoping that comes up.
Yeah, we got the, at the red carpet last week, we got the, I don't think this made it into any of the segments that we publish, but we got the chance to talk to Akiva Goldsman, co-showrunner for Star Trek Strange New Worlds, and huge Gorn fan, right? Like, he talked in, there were a bunch of references to the Gorn in Star Trek Picard season one. We never saw him, but there were just these little Easter eggs in a few places. And Akiva talked about how it was because him and Michael Chabon were huge Gorn fans and like looked for any opportunity to like put in Gorn references, even though, you know, one was not going to appear in Star Trek Picard season one. So we kind of said to Akiva, it's like, you know, you seem to have finally sort of realized your wish, right? There's a, and I think it's fair to say there is somewhat more sort of Gorn-ish content to come, knowing from the pilot that one of our main characters has a connection to that particular race. And, you know, so we were like, you know, you're responsible for this, right? And he sort of, you know, admitted that, yes, that was his idea and, you know, something he kind of really wanted to lean into. And I'm sure of it. I'm sure we're going to see one eventually. I mean, if you're going to, and let's just go off of that, right? I'm going to give absolutely no spoilers for the next four episodes. Let's just go off of what we know from the pilot, which is that La'an has this history with the race, clearly very deeply affected her, right? Very important to who her character is. I just can't imagine you build that kind of backstory, which is currently we know more about her connection to the Gorn than we know about her connection to her last name at this point. And that is a very intentionally chosen last name. I just, I cannot imagine that at some point in this show, whether it breaks canon or not, we'll leave that on the table for people to decide if and when it happens, if it does, that we will not see a Gorn. I just think it's a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, like, you know, I agree.
Otherwise, you are unnecessarily teasing your audience without kind of following through.
Yep, absolutely.
So what do you think? So how close do you want the Gorn to be to the arena Gorn?
That's tough because, you know, I know there's going to have to be some. I love practical effects and makeup. I really do. You know, and I just, you see how they do some of this makeup stuff now. I think of Saru on Discovery and they could pull it off. They really could practically. They could pull it off. So if they could kind of maybe mix the two, maybe he's a little bit more agile in arena. You know what I mean? But yeah. I'd love to see that, you know, real deal practical type application somehow done very well.
All right, let me give you my theory, which is also a Strange New Worlds theory. It's a pretty big one. So my theory is that Brent Spiner will appear as Adam Soong in Star Trek Strange New Worlds.
Oh, that's awesome. That's mind blown.
So let me tell you why I think that ridiculous thing to be the case. So this week, we got two distinctly different episodes of Star Trek, right? We got the season two finale for Star Trek Picard, and we got the pilot for Strange New Worlds. And there's almost nothing in common between those episodes, except for they both had references to the eugenics wars in some way, shape, or form, right? Adam Soong, after Corey has deleted all of his, you know, database and all his life's work is destroyed, opens up a drawer and pulls out a file called Project Khan, right? And it cuts and that's it. And there's no revisiting that, right? That's the last time you see Adam Soong. And then in Star Trek Strange New Worlds, as Pike is on the surface of Kylie 279 talking to them about how they're going to destroy each other, he's like, let me tell you about the history of my own world. And he tells a retcon, but you know, it works within the context of Star Trek timeline for the 21st century, which has the eugenics wars being ahead of us and a precursor to World War III. He says that first it was known as the Second Civil War for the US, beginning with January the 6th, very political, and then going through the eugenics wars, and then going, and finally they called it World War III.
And he's got a main character too. He's got
right, exactly. And so we've got Adam Soong in 2024, looking forward with something called Project Khan, right? It's dated 1996, which is a reference back to, you know, the eugenics wars of 1996. But now we know that the eugenics wars happen after it, whenever, at whatever point between 2024 and 2063, World War III happens, the eugenics wars take place right around there. And so, like, that says to me, you know, they talked about how there are these showrunner coordination meetings in which they sit down and figure out, all right, what are you doing? What are you doing? And have started to try and come up with ways to kind of tie the shows together. So obviously, you know, there's that piece of it. But let's return to the Kirk casting announcement, right? Like, that Kirk casting announcement came very suddenly because Paul Wesley and Christina Chong were photographed in downtown Toronto, filming an episode of Star Trek Strange New Worlds, the second season, right? It was all over TikTok, these, you know, pictures and short snippets of video that passersby had taken of them in Starfleet uniforms wandering the streets of Toronto being filmed. And obviously everybody's focused on that because that's Paul Wesley and he's playing James T. Kirk. But there were a couple of other pictures that were taken at the same time that don't have Christina Chong and Paul Wesley in them, but do have set dressing for whatever it was they were shooting. And there's two pieces to it. So one, there was a bus, a prison bus, and on the front of the prison bus, it said like Illinois State Penitentiary, right? So it's clearly not meant to be there in Toronto, right? Like, that's clearly a piece of set dressing from the filming. So Illinois State Penitentiary. So what does that tell me? Well, it tells me they're filming in downtown Toronto, but it's standing in for Chicago, let's say. And that's clearly not 23rd century design, right? A prison bus for the Illinois State Penitentiary. That's today-ish, right? Or near future. And then the other piece of evidence is there's another of the pictures that was going around had, it was one of the Strange New Worlds characters in the foreground. And then in the background, there was a sign on a glass door that said the Noonian Institute. Oh, right. Like Noonien Soong, Khan Noonien Singh. And okay, so add all of that together, right? My sense is this James T. Kirk episode is going to involve some kind of time travel back to around this point in history, maybe near future. They made a very pointed element of kind of saying, hey, Adam Soong might have something to do with the eugenics wars. And now there's clearly going to be some eugenics war content. And you have a character with the last name Noonien Singh in Strange New Worlds, which very strongly implies they want to do some kind of carny stuff with that. Now, my last piece of evidence for this is a tweet sent by one Brent Spiner on May 4th. This was 2 days ago. In reply to Anson Mount, he said, wishing all my friends at hashtag Strange New Worlds a bon voyage on tomorrow's premiere, smooth sailing for years to come. Hope to come play with you someday soon. You know, is like, of course, that's just Brent being Brent and doing whatever. But when you add all of that together, Doesn't that sound like a compelling amount of circumstantial evidence that says that maybe, just maybe, as their kind of first big series crossover, they're going to take a character from Star Trek Picard season 2 and have that character appear in Strange New Worlds season 2 to continue telling some of that story of like, how did the eugenics wars happen?
That is... I'm blown away. That was an absolutely incredible prediction. I may even steal it on episode 10 of Star Trek Picard, Discovering Trek, Star Trek Picard. You know, it's funny. Now I'm even thinking like, hey, I know how Issa Briona said that she's not in season 3 of Picard, but maybe she's going to be in Strange New Worlds because she's traveling around with the Traveler.
Maybe.
And we got this Adam Soong connection now.
Yeah. I mean, Will Wheaton did say on the, I can't remember if it was on the Ready Room, if it was somewhere else that, you know, all the other shows are fighting over, you know, getting some kind of Wesley appearance. So, you know, he might show up on more of them than just Picard.
Hey, I got one other prediction for
you. Yes, sir. Go for it.
After missing Chicago and seeing that XO6 booth, I predict that Jamie's going to have to take out a second mortgage to keep up with all these figures that are coming out on the horizon. So I had to add that in.
Jamie, that is one prediction I feel fairly confident will come true. Do you have a theory or a wish for Discovery, Picard, Strange New Worlds, Lower Decks, or Prodigy that you'd like to share? Tweet them to me at Weekly Trek or email them to me at weeklytrek@thetricordertransmissions.com, and I might feature your theory in a future episode. Well, that's all the time we've got for this episode of Weekly Trek. Thank you so much to my guest, Jamie Rogers, for joining me today. Jamie, how can people contact you if they want to continue the conversation?
Well, the easiest way to reach me is on Twitter at JMROG84.
And you can find this show on Twitter at Weekly Trek and me at Alexander T. Perry. And if you enjoy the show, please consider leaving us a 5-star review on your podcast player of choice. And please check out some of the other great shows on the Tricorder Transmissions. And if you like our shows, please also consider becoming a Patreon of Tricorder, which you can find at patreon.com/thetricordertransmissions. And lastly, if you're looking for Star Trek news on the internet, I hope you will turn to trekcore.com. Well, thank you, Jamie. Thank you to all of my listeners. And until next week, live long and prosper.